School is in session with Basketball U. Welcome to your study time for the world of college hoops. Now here are your professors, Tyler Rocky and Shane Orley on ESPN 1000.
Good morning and welcome on in to Basketball U, presented by Riverfront Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Buy at riverfront.com. Tyler Rocky and Shane Norling, we're with you until 9 a.m. talking all things in the world of college hoops. You're already teed up today, aren't you?
Yeah, I've been holding on to a little anger this week. Haven't been able to talk a lot of college basketball on the station this week. And I have spent this past 7 days... 6 days, however long it's been since Michigan State decided to vomit down their shirt against Ohio State, led that game by 12 at some points, lost on a last-second three at the end of the game.
Oh, boy.
And look, man, normally, like, regular season losses, Michigan State basketball, they don't bother me too much. I have a legend head coach.
But this was supposed to be the year.
Right. I have a legend head coach, a Hall of Famer, and that's really the root of what I want to talk about is – and I'd be happy after I set this up for you and Potsy to weigh in. Am I being unfair to a coach who is a legend? He's my legend. It's my program. This is the thing. Like, when it comes to college sports, college basketball, this is what I am about. And this was supposed to be, we talked about it on a podcast, what seems like a year ago, after we went to the Champions Classic. This was supposed to be fun. For me, this was supposed to be my escape after a god-awful college football season. I could go into college basketball, the fourth-ranked team in the country, feeling good and have a nice, fun, high-ride season. I was going to feel like Potsy, who I know doesn't feel the happiest with the Jayhawks floundering lately.
I will say, Potsy's Mr. Positivity on Twitter.
Of course he is, and he should be, because the Jayhawks are really good. And they have a basketball coach in Bill Self who has evolved and adapted and done things to continue to be good.
These are facts. These are facts.
And I'm stuck with a has-been, washed-up, doesn't want to do it anymore.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. I will call it like I see it. Potsy, this guy's gotten on many a podium and talked about how he doesn't like the way the game has changed, doesn't like the transfer portal, doesn't like the NIL. I'm not telling him he's wrong to not like those things. You don't have to like those things.
Mm-hmm. Mike Bray didn't like it. Guess what he did? He left.
Yeah.
Coach K didn't like it. He left.
Jay Wright hated it.
Boeheim
he's on TV
like
now.
Yeah. Jay Wright's great on TV.
He's fantastic.
Well. He's amazing
you
on TV.
You know who would be great on TV? Tom Izzo.
He probably would.
I mean, I had Pottinger put up some of the post game from last Sunday, the buzzer beater loss to Ohio State. One of them is Tom met the media midweek and talked about his program, and one of them is immediately after the game. And I thought they were both kind of embarrassing and a signal of just how far this program has fallen.
I just feel bad. I am different than a player. I do feel like I play for all the people. I play for 600,000 alums. I play for every player that ever played here. And I'm saddened to think that I don't see enough players doing that this day and age. And I do feel bad about that. But times are changing, and things are changing, and just part of the new world. But I'll look at that and try to figure it out. So
this is not a Tom Izzo topic. This is not a Tom Izzo issue. Mm-hmm. This is just me as a fan. Stop blaming society. It's you, man. The snowball rolls downhill. Things are going to change the way they're going to change. They're going to go the direction that they're going. Nobody has to like NIL. You have to use it. Nobody has to like the transfer portal. You have to use it. There is no reason that me, as a Michigan State fan, should be jealous of effing Creighton. There's no reason I should be jealous of Wisconsin pulling AJ Storr out of St. John's. It's ridiculous. We can't get transfers. And then this guy has the audacity to talk about, I don't see enough players doing that. Well, I don't know how Xavier Booker's supposed to do that when you bench him for the final 15 minutes of the game and then you can't throw it in the ocean. They scored, what, 15 points in the last 15 minutes? Ohio State had no business being in that game.
Ohio State is not a good team. Like, they fired their coach a couple weeks ago. And Diebler's done a good job so far. And I credit him for how he's sort of, I mean, he's got wins over Michigan State and Purdue. It's a pretty good start to your college coaching career. I do, like, when I was bringing up the coaches that have gotten, that have left the game, and I started with Mike Bray. I always start with Mike Bray for a reason. And it's because of the fact that Mike Bray, this was probably about a year and a half ago now, when NIL was starting to become prevalent and the transfer portal became the Wild West, he came out with a quote that says, we've got to stop complaining. This is the world we live in. And
God bless. Thank you.
And you know what? He gets it, all right? It wasn't for him. He got out. He'll be more than fine. Financially, he's set. He was the head coach at Notre Dame for many, many years. And he gets it. And he basically told all the other coaches, just like, shut up, adjust. This is the new world that you're in now. And you're going to have to find a way to compete in it. And if you can't find a way to compete in it, then it's time to go.
Like, listen to him at midweek. Asked a very simple question about not playing Xavier Booker for the end of the second half against Ohio State.
It looked like Ohio State was really sagging off Mahdi.
I didn't sag off Mahdi. I don't know what film you were watching. Mahdi was inside the whole time. You know, get to your question. Why aren't you playing Booker? Why didn't you play Booker? Get to your question.
I don't think it's the question.
I think Booker did some really good things. I'm absolutely in love with what he did. Our rebounding, we were getting hurt. Yeah. If you want to watch some film, I'd be glad to show it to you.
9-2 at that point when you took him out. So
okay, well, I appreciate all the armchair people. Okay. I really do, including you guys. There's a reason. I mean, I didn't forget how to coach, contrary to what most of our probably alums feel right now. In not one ounce of a night do I worry about how I've dealt with Booker. Ask him. Ask him, contrary to what people think, I didn't forget how to coach. Why didn't he do this? Why don't they play him? Why don't they that? Why don't they this?
Contrary to what people think, I didn't forget how to coach. No, I don't think you did. This has been an issue of yours for a very long time. I can remember back to when I played your school in the tournament.
Yeah.
And I watched Jaren Jackson, a top five pick in the NBA draft, ride the effing bench. Tom, play freshman. What was it? 3 months ago, he met the media after another bad loss and hit him with the seniors. If they're going to play like that, well, then I'll play the freshman. Stop playing Mahdi Sissoko. He sucks. Play Xavier Booker. Play the freshman. Why do you talk about it if you're not going to do it? It drives me nuts. For this guy, like, the reason I'm doing it this way, I don't ever want to have to use the fire word with Tom Izzo, ever. He has earned the right to walk out of that program the way that he wants to. I am at a point where I would like him to do it himself sooner than later so that I don't ever have to use the fire word. Do you know their record in the Big Ten the last 4 years? Conference play only. Michigan State conference play over 4 seasons.
What is it?
40-36.
Ooh.
You are a 500 program in the Big Ten. That is not Tom Izzo, Michigan State. It's not.
Dude, I'm telling you, this reminds me very similarly of what the end of the Jim Boeheim era was. And I think we're starting to see it at a lot of these programs. And obviously, this doesn't apply to Michigan State, but a lot of these programs that left the Big East, like Syracuse, Louisville, didn't end well. It didn't end well as it went down the stretch with the head coach at the time. And I'm starting to see shades of it now with Izzo. Now,
like, say what you want about Coach K. That guy knew when to walk away. He knew it was time. And he passed it on to a guy who he knew could handle the program.
And he knew to let everyone know when he was walking away,
too.
Well,
of course. It's Coach K. He has to tell everybody. He had to be the center of attention. Dude, I wouldn't mind if Tom came out and said, next year's my last year, I'm doing a farewell tour in the conference. I wouldn't mind. I'd even put up with a bad year, knowing that it's almost over. This is not like, I don't think I'm being unfair. Just because somebody's a legend in their industry, in their job, and I'm a fan, doesn't mean I got to kiss the ring for eternity. If you start doing a bad job and 40 and 36 the last four seasons in conference play only, how about not making a Final Four? You're doing a bad job. This is the burden of the success that you had. You don't get to build it up and then stick around and tear it down because you don't like what the sport is anymore. Get a grip, man. You don't like the sport so much, you got to yap on about how the transfer portal and society is ruining these, like, he's a few words away from saying, these Gen Z kids that I got to coach. It's crazy. If you're at that point with the sport, and I think it goes to college football guys too, because I'll tell you, Dabo Swinney, I don't think he's in love with the NIL or the portal.
Oh, far from it.
And boy, does Clemson's product on the field look like that a lot early in the season. So if you're at that point as a coach where you hate your sport so much, all you can do is mouth off about how awful the direction of it is, do me a favor. Go call games on TV. Go the way of Jay Wright. Go take an NBA gig. I don't care. I don't know if they'll hire a 70-year-old, but you've always wanted to do it. Give it a shot. Go anywhere other than my program. If you're going to stay, do me another favor. Embrace the effing portal. I don't want to wake up and be jealous of Creighton getting transfers. I don't need to be jealous of other schools like Wisconsin in conference getting AJ Store out of St. John's while I get a gift wrap pile of coal under my Christmas tree. Get into the NIL. You think you're going to get freshmen like this again? You keep acting this way? I had to listen to players on the team. This guy says he's going to coach till he's 75. I sure hope not if he's going to keep doing this.
Here's the thing, too, is like the transfer portal, you don't need to go poach the Hunter Dickinsons to be successful. Look at Tennessee. They got Dalton Knecht. He's probably been the best transfer in the entire sport all season long. You know where he played last year? Northern Colorado.
Yes. Like what?
You couldn't even tell me what the mascot for Northern Colorado is, probably.
You see it all the time, man. Like football, Jahmyr Gibbs was at Georgia Tech, transferred to Bama.
Yes.
And it's not like Saban was particularly embracing the transfer portal. He didn't take a bunch, but he's taken more than my coach. The only time I've had Izzo take transfers, the NCAA came and said, no, thank you, you can't do that. Ineligible. And I had to watch, which Hauser was it? Joey? Had to spend a year on the bench because the NCAA wouldn't let him play. And I'm telling you, that's why Izzo won't take him now. And because he hates it. And because he hates the NIL. Okay, newsflash. They aren't going anywhere. The portal and the NIL are only going to grow. And as realignment changes and now you're going to have to play.
It's going
to
get harder.
USC and Washington and Oregon, all these teams. This is only going to get more difficult. So if you don't like it now, go call games.
He is living the ultimate die a hero or live long enough to become the villain. And we've seen it at so many programs. It was the same thing with Jim Boeheim. It was the same thing with Rick Pitino. And we're seeing it now a little bit with Tom. Now, in Izzo's defense, in all likelihood, he's about to go to another tournament. And he's been to the tournament.
Woohoo! But he's... Blow the candle.
What are we blowing? But like that's the thing is, you don't realize it could be so much worse. Don't get me wrong. Michigan State is probably the most disappointing team in the sport this year. But their disappointment is still going to get them into the dance. Do you know what it's like to be sitting out of the dance for potentially three straight years as a Syracuse fan? Can you imagine being a Louisville fan right now?
You know what?
Like, that is the deepest depths of the pits of hell.
I'm not telling you it's better for you. I'm not. Because, obviously it's better to be getting into the tourney than not getting into the tourney. But I will say, when all I have is this ridiculous streak, like, that's the only thing I have is that we get in, and it's compiled with a loss to Middle Tennessee State, the play-in loss to UCLA in a year we were supposed to be excellent, the loss to Syracuse in the round of 32 with Miles Bridges and Jaren Jackson riding the bench for a sixth-year senior named Ben Carter, who played 6 minutes a game And
Cassius Winston was on that team too, right?
As a freshman, I don't think he played. So you got, but it's just Izzo's been doing these things for years now, and he's refused to adapt. He's refused to change. And last year was nice. We had the little run, beat Marquette, put up a really good fight against Kansas State. Could have easily won that game, and if they did, you're
like
a game away from the Final Four.
Was successful,
sure.
All things considered,
and then this season you bring that entire team back, and it's like nobody has grown. Tyson Walker's gotten worse. It's not that he's bad, but he's not. Maybe he'll have a run in the tournament, but the shooting against Ohio State, 5 of 15, he's had a lot of those games this year. Tom's still making wacky decisions. Xavier Booker playing incredible basketball, doesn't play the final 15 minutes of the game. Coincidentally, the same 15 minutes where you vomited on yourself and Ohio State ran back into the game. And it's like, yeah, well, I get to make the tournament and I get to hang my hat on that. But when I was preseason number 4, now I'm going to make the tournament as a 9 seed. If we make the tournament, we are officially on the bubble after back-to-back losses against Iowa and Ohio State. We're going to lose to Purdue today. And it's like, now, if we make the tournament, yay, I get the streak, woo-hoo. I'm going to lose Tyson Walker. Mati Sissoko stinks. Goodbye. He's whatever. But do you really think all these kids are going to stick around? Xavier, but like, that's Tom saying. Xavier Booker, he'll be back next year and he'll be a superstar.
I really believe that. Colin Carr's coming back?
Right. And I'm like, Tom, get your head on straight. Xavier Booker and Colin Carr are going to be in the portal.
Yeah. And they'll go somewhere, play for a year or two there, and be really damn good. Yeah. It's just the way it's going to work out. We see it all the time.
So and then Tom's going to, look, you're not going to take transfers because you don't. Not a lot of them. Not enough of them to reload a team. What, are you going to turn into Patino all of a sudden? How is it, and I'm not saying St. John's had some successful year, how is it Rick Pitino can take that much time away from coaching college basketball, come back, and immediately embrace the transfer portal? 11 players on scholarship on St. John's were via transfer.
He pulled the Deion.
He takes a decade off. And is a billion years old. He's on the sideline. He looks like he's going to turn into dust. He's like Sister Jean, the male version. And I got to watch him embrace the portal while Tom Izzo refuses. It's ridiculous. And as a Michigan State fan, I'm not calling for him to be fired. I will never say it. I hope. I hope that he knows it's time to walk away on his own before I have to say that. But if this is the way you want to act, it's an adapt or die world, man. And if you're unwilling to adapt, bye.
By the way, quick note on Pitino, too. Everyone was up in arms. Oh, Rick Pitino this, Rick Pitino that, after he had the thing where he called out all of his players. Guess what he's done since? 3 straight wins, including a win against Creighton. Crushed Creighton.
Yeah.
Crushed Butler on the road the other day, too.
Yeah.
Won by like 30 points.
And Big East is good enough, they'll put him in.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. All right, when we come back.
We need a Pitino March run so bad.
Oh, we almost had it. What was it, last year? There was a chance for it last year. Unfortunately, they got matched up against UConn in the first round. But I digress. Anyway, I have some thoughts on the Big 12. You guys all woke up to a strongly worded text message from me earlier in the week.
8 paragraphs.
I'll tell you all about that when we come back. Tyler Rocky, Shane New Orleans Basketball U.
This is Tyler and Shay on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
I need to get something off my chest.
I think you got it off your chest.
But I need to do it again.
8-paragraph format. I want to pull the curtain back for the people on it.
You subtweeted me.
Yeah, of course, because there was a viral tweet going around about how, like, women always want to know what the guys are talking about in the group chat. And trust me, a male group chat is the most boring place in existence. And it was funny because that morning I woke up to an 8-paragraph text from you in a group chat about how the Big 12 is getting too much clout nationally, and the ACC is being disrespected. 8 paragraphs.
Yeah. So the crux of this is I don't understand the love for Texas. I don't get it. Bracket Matrix has them 100 out of 100, according to bracketologists. For those unfamiliar with Bracket Matrix, it's basically a site that takes the composite of 100 to 115 bracketologists and their guesses and puts it all together, and it averages it out to what they should be in the tournament based off of that. And I'd had enough. I've had enough of the Big 12 love this year. Listen, there's some really good teams in the Big 12. No doubt about it. Houston, great. Kansas, fantastic. Eh. Iowa State's been good this year. Listen, if the Jayhawk is giving me a on his own team.
I know, I'm with you, Tyler. I am here, dude. It's the Big 12.
The Big 12 love.
As good as they are, the hype has gotten too much.
Isn't it something where a team can move up out of the AAC from last year and be leading your conference over some of your traditional powers by three games? They've got a three-game edge on Baylor and Kansas. They're the last two teams in the conference to win a title. And I look at everything, and Texas, you're about to catch a stray, because I've had enough. I've had enough of the Texas love. When I look into, and I think they kind of best sum up the unfair love that the Big 12 has received. So I compared their resume to the resume of my team, who, by the way, is not a tournament team. They're not. They've still got a lot of work to do if they are going to get into the big dance. But because of the fact that the Big 12 plays the softest non-conference schedule, they get to boost all their numbers. It feels like it's collusion to a degree. They collude.
They're paying off the NCAA.
No. They collude that no one's going to play any tough non-conference games, except for Kansas. You can go out and do whatever you want because you're traditionally in these showcases. You play your Mauis. You play your Champions Classics.
Okay.
That's perennial stuff for you. You do big-time events like that every year, and we know you can handle it. So you can go up. But Iowa State? No. You're going to stay in daycare over here. You're going to play the Prairie View A&Ms of the world in your non-con. You know, yeah. Iowa State was winning games in the non-conference by an average margin of almost 40 points per game for a stretch.
How about their first four games of the year?
Look at this.
Green Bay, Lindenwood, Idaho State, Grambling State to start the season.
You want to know their smallest margin of victory in those games? 31. And this is why, to me, there is a colluding factor to this all. Because you have to think about what is one of the most powerful tools in determining where seeding happens. It is the awful, atrocious net rankings. Nobody understands how these things work. You have to release the formula at a certain point because it makes no sense. How can teams who, and when you pull up the net rankings, they give you quad one wins, quad two wins, quad three wins, quad four wins, the home, road, and neutral records, and then your overall record. How can teams that are across the board better in those quad one through four metrics in the same conferences be different? In different spots. How can a team that is significantly better in all of those metrics and has head-to-head wins over other teams and the team that is above them, how are they below? It makes no sense.
I will say, reading through the 8-paragraph essay that we were sent.
A thesis, if you will.
There was a disclaimer that this was not about getting Syracuse into the tournament. Potsy, correct me if I'm wrong. It felt a little bit like it was about getting Syracuse into the tournament.
Oh, just a little bit. Just a little bit.
I don't care if Syracuse... I would love for them to be in the tournament this year. But this is not about them. This is about the heavy lifting and carrying of the water of the Big 12 that's been taken on all throughout the season this year. It's so far out of hand. Texas doesn't play anybody until they get to the Big 12. Nobody in the Big 12 plays anyone until they get to conference play, except for Kansas. And because of that, they go out and have these ridiculous margins of victory. Ridiculous. Like 30 points per, or yeah, game after game after game. And what does that do? It boosts your net rating. And then when you get into conference play, everyone's a top 50 team at that point. So everything's a quad one game. It's the toughest night. In the ACC, you lose a game on the road, and it's, how do you lose? How does Virginia Tech lose at Syracuse? But when Kansas loses a game, it's, shucks, just another tough night in the Big 12.
I feel like
they lose at home to BYU. Darn it. Just another tough night in the Big 12, the best conference in all the land.
I'm not saying you're wrong, but I feel like you're just mad at the nature of the sport at this point. The Big 12 is just the selected conference this year. Because
they have been the last couple of years.
Such elite teams at the top. But no, this has been the Big Ten for a while. Remember a few years ago?
Yes, absolutely.
Big Ten got like 11 teams into the tournament.
I was just about to bring that up. 2021.
They've been sniffed out.
Yeah, because they're terrible.
Those frauds don't make the second weekend anymore.
Yeah, my point was going to be at least some of these Big 12 teams, when they get in, actually make deep runs. Like the Big Ten for years.
But you know
years
who makes the best runs all the time? It's the ACC.
Sure. Duke, UNC.
Duke, Carolina, Virginia. Like, they've been the ones that have been making noise in the tournament. Look at and even this season, the ACC head to head against the Big 12 is 9-3. And two of those wins for the Big 12 have come against Georgia Tech and Louisville, who are pitiful.
I guess my question, we're both college basketball guys. Between the two of us, I mean, this is your blood. Like, I'm more the college football, you're more the college basketball. Mm-hmm. What is it with the ACC this year where they're being treated like the sisters of the poor? Because it's very wild to me. It's not like they have a collection of
people
just
think the
horrible
Mountain
teams.
West is better than them.
Right, like you've got a really good Duke team, a really good North Carolina team, a Virginia team that's starting to come on a little stronger, a Clemson team that's one of the best they've had in a very long time. Mm-hmm. And you might be a little light at the top in KenPom, just I think three teams in the top 25 KenPom in the ACC. But why is it that this is getting looked at like the junior varsity this year?
I don't get it. I don't get it. Because Virginia Tech could go in and play a lot of these teams in the Big 12 and give them the business. I mean, I think part of it too is the fact that, like, you look at the rest of these teams in the conference. Who, when there was realignment back in 2013, you were supposed to be adding to the ACC teams in Louisville and in Syracuse that were supposed to uplift the conference, and they really haven't held their weight. But you have seen teams like Virginia and Florida State get really good at basketball the last couple of years. And I'll even throw Clemson. Like, Clemson's punched above their weights.
Wake Forest?
Wake's been solid. Wake's had some legacy guys. Like, they've obviously had the Tim Duncans, the Chris Pauls.
Yeah.
Like, they've had some legacy guys come through the program. But Wake Forest has always been known as a basketball-ish school.
And this year, like, a really good basketball
yes,
team.
They've been fantastic. One of the more fun teams in the entire conference to watch. And I just think that the way that everything got realigned, it's because those two teams, Syracuse and Louisville, have not been these perennial top five teams in the conference, and it's held the conference back.
You know, at least Syracuse has been somewhat competitive. Louisville, boy. I mean, that is an abject disaster.
I have not seen a program fall that south that quickly. I haven't. I mean, we're not talking about the, like, they're, like, top 100 Ken. No. They're, like, bordering on one of the worst KenPom teams of all time for a Power 6 team. That's how bad that's gotten.
You know what's funny is, and this is just, that national title game that doesn't exist anymore between Michigan and Louisville. And look at how far those two programs have fallen in the last few years.
Disasters. You lose your head coaches that sort of built up that program to where it is there, and you just see where it goes. And I just look at, like, the ACC versus Big 12 disparity. If we were to do an ACC versus Big 12 challenge, because you know what? I think that's part of it is people look at the Big 12 and like, oh, it's so deep. It's so, well, it's because you have fewer teams than most of the other conferences. When you have the same number of teams, it's like, yeah, you're going to have terrible teams at the bottom. Guess what? West Virginia sucks.
Yeah, they're terrible.
Oklahoma State blows. Georgia Tech and Louisville are just as bad. Don't get me wrong. But I don't get the love for the, Cincinnati, UCF, Texas, and Oklahoma. Like, no. Those teams are just as bad as Pitt. They're just as bad as the team like Syracuse. They're just as bad. But when you lose to them, it's another tough game in the Big 12. When you lose to Virginia Tech, that's a bad loss.
I think a part of it, too, is just the lack of the, like, truly elite team this year. Like, Houston, UConn, great. Purdue, great. But we don't have that undefeated Gonzaga. We don't have, like, Kentucky going crazy. We don't have a Duke and North Carolina, both really good, but neither of them in the, like, great vintage form.
We haven't had that in the transfer portal NIL era either.
Yeah.
It's been, and I think that's one of the good things about the transfer portal and NIL is that it's really spread things across the board.
But I think that it'll lift, like, the conference that has the most teams towards the top nationally is always going to be lifted as more of a behemoth. Because people will talk about, like, West Virginia's terrible. Nobody's disagreeing there. But people will bring up, well, they play in the Big Ten, or the Big 12. Of course they're terrible. They have to play all these juggernauts all the time. And then West Virginia gets a couple wacky wins where they're a home team in a good situation. And everybody talks about this, just how difficult the Big 12 is. No, that's how difficult college basketball conference play is in every league.
Yes.
You can
lose every night. Every night. And I just think the Big 12 love has gotten so far out of hand because you don't challenge yourself in the non-con. You don't. So, all right, when we come back, we will get you into some of the big stuff for today. There's a great slate on tap for today in
college
basketball.
What's going on with court storms?
Yes, there was an empty moment in a game last night. And, boy, the Dukies are at it again. We'll talk about that when we come back.
This is Tyler and Shay on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Basketball U here on ESPN 1000. We're brought to you by Riverfront Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram. Buy at riverfront.com. Tyler Aki and Shay Norling talking college basketball with you. The big story of the week, Shay, has been the court storming debacle. Are we throwing the kids in jail yet? Are they?
Well, Jay Billis would like to.
Mm-hmm. What was the drunk tank? Do we need like a storm tank?
What was the line this week? There was somebody on Twitter said, why doesn't this happen at NBA games? Is it because the fans are so different? Or is it because you know if you go onto an NBA court, you are leaving the building in handcuffs? And I was like, it's because there aren't students that go to, like, you don't go to Boston Celtics University.
Right.
That's why you're not storming the court after a win.
You don't live within the same confines of these same people all the time.
Upsets in the NBA don't have the same energy.
Radius.
They're not, they're professional athletes. It's a different deal.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's very, very different.
Do you think Filipowski faked it?
I don't think he faked it. I think there was, like, impact in the moment.
Do you think Shire exaggerated a little bit because Coach K ran the playbook for...
He got the injury wrong.
Yeah, he said like, sprained ankle, turns out to be a knee injury, turns out to be actually nothing. I think he ran the play from the Coach K playbook. We lost a bad game, and let's
blame someone else.
Let's put a little distraction on this.
I gotta say, I love John Shire. Love John Shire. Big fan of John Shire. But he's on strike two.
Ooh.
He's on strike two with me. First strike is that he's a Glenbrook North Spartan. Strike one. Just like Jesse. Jesse's on strike one, too.
Oh, my goodness.
Jesse's on strike one with me. Strike two is what happened last Saturday. Strike two is going out and blaming the fans for what happened. Now, listen. Was it a well-executed court storm? No. It was bad. The kid who came in at Filipowski... In the NFL, that's a spearing call. Like, he came in like a heat-seeking missile and was out for blood. Some drunk finance kid with a 2.2 GPA nearly ended the Duke basketball season. But they should be entitled to storm the court. It's a part of the fabric of college basketball. You cannot take it away. and to see all the high and mighty Duke people get up on their soapbox because their prestigious university, they're above storming the court. Just because you're the ones that will perpetually get stormed on,
correct,
does not mean that you can take it away from people. Just because you're not going to do it. Listen, we'll never see a court storm at Cameron. Probably never again. But just because you're not doing it doesn't mean that other universities can't.
Well, that's, again, it goes back to that's the burden of your success. I don't want to see a court storm at Breslin. We are more successful than that. The court storms are for the schools that get the big upsets. The court storms are for when Tennessee beats Alabama in football. The court storms are from when Wake Forest beats Duke.
Listen, they are little brother in that research rhombus right there.
Yeah. It's not, there's no issue to me with court storming. Here's an idea, and I'm not going out to blame Filipowski. Like, you can't run into players as a fan. If you're going to storm the court, don't run over a player. That's poor form.
Yeah, that's BS, yeah.
But also, get off the floor. Filipowski's like walking off the floor as slow as possible, putting his leg out. You know what's about to happen. You're a college athlete. Get off the floor.
You thought he put his leg out?
Looked like it.
No, I think he's just an awkward human.
Maybe.
All seven-footers are awkward human beings.
The point
the way
is,
that they move.
Like, the way people are talking about court storming now, where, like, listen, I'll say it. One of our video chats, we are on Twitch and YouTube every day, right? Mm-hmm. One of our video chats, and we talked about this on the morning show, I believe on Monday, said something to the effect of, I wouldn't mind these clowns getting a nightstick to the dome if they want to storm the court. And I'm like, what in the world is wrong with you?
Yeah.
You want people to potentially die at the hands of justice because they ran on the floor celebrating a college basketball victory? You have some issues. This idea that, like, throw them all in prison. We have to, like, a 30-second clock so that everybody can clear the air.
No.
Then you're erasing the emotion of it.
Yes, exactly.
It's one of those things. I'm sorry. If you believe, like, what's the solution? You believe that you have the ability to stop 2,000 kids from running full tilt onto the floor.
There's
after a
reason a
win.
It's called a storm. You can't stop it.
You're not stopping it. You're not throwing everyone in prison. What is the solution? To lock the doors to the arena and set the building on fire because the fans stormed the court? That, like I said on Twitter, is the solution to build a moat around the court and fill it with alligators and have them jump over it? And if you successfully leap the moat, nothing we can do. Congrats, have your court storm. But if you miss, you're getting eaten by alligators.
That would be pretty cool if Florida did that. I think that's something that the Florida AD should institute, a little moat around the court/field for the fans to jump over.
But it's a great idea till a bad foul sends a player out of bounds. And then he's tumbling down the moat.
I do think last night there was a big upset within our city. And I shouldn't say big upset, because Loyola Chicago has been great this year. Leading the A-10 right now, by the way. A season removed from being one of the worst teams in the A-10 after bumping up from the Valley. But Loyola had not had a home-ranked win in 38 years. When they went out and beat Dayton the other day, last night, a ranked team, and there was no court storming after, the end of the game felt empty to me. I don't know how you guys felt about it, but to not see it, and they were waiting for it on the broadcast.
I was expecting it.
Like, Dallin Cuff, who was on the color for that game, was saying, if there's a court storm, I'm hiding under this desk because, A, the students were right behind them.
Right.
And that's just the way that they were going to come storming down. But it felt like it was missing something yesterday. It was a great win for Loyola. Clutch shots, close game, the whole thing was fantastic. But it was missing a court storm last night.
Potsy was a little angry last night because Brown and Harvard played, and Brown won in overtime by 3, and Brown fans stormed the court. And Potsy was like, Brown storming the court against Harvard is embarrassing. I got to tell you, usually I am on the side of, like, if you're a good team, don't storm the court. If you beat some nobody, don't storm the court. But right now, I think I'm pro all court storming. Just do it.
Yeah.
Tell these media higher up people, these highfalutin, pretentious media people that are like, if you storm the court, you should be in jail for a week. Tell them to shove it and storm the court. If you win a home game, I don't even care. Potsy, if Kansas wins a home game, storm the court. Everybody storm the court. Tell Jay Billis and company, shove it. You don't want us storming the court. We're going to do it every game.
How about this? Win the game then. I've seen a lot of other players come out and say, you don't want us to storm the court? Win the game.
Win the game.
Win the game.
Duke has famed for a long time. Duke has been the loudest voice about court storming being terrible. Here's an idea. Don't lose those games.
You know who's been the voice of reason? They're the Purdue folks. The Purdue and Matt Painter, what he has said, I've heard some other people say it too, and just talking with some Purdue people, like, they've had the court stormed on them every single loss that they've had in the regular season for the last 3 years. Every single game has resulted in a court storming. And Matt Painter's embraced it. He's pro court storming. Now, he doesn't want people getting injured. No one wants people getting injured. But I think the perfect thing that we saw was the UConn-Creighton game a couple weeks ago, where Creighton beat number one UConn at the Shai Center, and it was a perfectly executed court storming. The security presence immediately blocked off the UConn bench, basically formed a convoy for every single player to get to the bench, because the fans aren't storming through the bench. If you can get to your bench, you're going to be fine. There was a convoy to the bench. There was no problem getting these players to the bench. No one got hurt. Everyone had a great time. And guess what? People were storming the court like the second the horn went off.
Yeah. And I think as a coach, you just tell your kids, if you don't want fans rushing you after this game, win it.
Yeah.
That's it. It's that simple.
Yep. I 100% agree with you there. All right. When we come back, we'll craft a parlay, and we are hot with the parlay. All that coming up next. We'll wrap things up in a few moments here on ESPN 1000.
This is Tyler and Shay. Tyler and Shay.
I know you're going to dig this.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Thanks to Justin Pottinger for producing today's show.
Thank you, Potsy.
We'll get his pick in just a second. We were hot. We won another parlay last week. Thanks to Bevins with his spring training total. That hit. Congratulations to Charlie Bevins.
Shout out Chardog.
Yeah. Pays to listen sometimes. Every once in a while. Anyway.
Last week was a big one.
Four-way parlay. Yeah.
Easy banger.
There was a lot of pressure on that spring training
free
total.
Free cheese.
To pull back the curtain and go inside the male group chat, by the way, Pottinger was tweaking out when the first three hit, and he had his Kentucky play left, and he was just like, I'm going to be so livid if Kentucky loses. Like, I wanted to take Wake Forest, and Aki beat me to it.
It was my hero moment, and
it was,
I came up.
You had a chance. You had a chance to be a hero. And you rose to the occasion, so well done, Pottinger.
Kentucky scored 117 points. It was literally never in doubt.
Yeah, it was probably the cleanest play of the four.
Dude, and Alabama was so good, too. They shot, like...
They shot the lights. I think they scored 90 themselves or something like that. Unbelievable. All right, let's get to the parlay this week. Who do you like, Shay?
I'm going to go with West Virginia. 9-19, West Virginia, the Mountaineers, getting only 2.5. At home against 19-9 Texas Tech. Spread looks too funny. Give me the Nears. Well, Big 12.
When they win outright against Texas Tech, oh, no problem for Texas Tech. You know, just another tough night in the Big 12. My pick, I'm going to go to South Carolina and Florida, top 25 matchup there, and take the home team, South Carolina, -1.5. They are one of my favorite teams to watch in college basketball. Bar none. It is them. It is Wake Forest as like the non-traditional top 10 teams. So South Carolina has been great this year. A lot of fun to watch. They're one of my favorite. I think they could win the SEC tournament as well if they get really hot when they go to Nashville. So give me South Carolina and the -1.5 is my play. Potsy, who do you like?
Oh, I love those plays, boys. The last leg I'm going to go with Alabama -3.5 at home versus Tennessee. I've been fading Alabama these last 2 weeks. It's sort of worked out, sort of hasn't. This team can score, though. That's blatant and obvious. Mark Sears, best player in the country. I'm taking Alabama -3.5. They can blow them out, dude. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know if Tennessee can hang with that offense.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, Tennessee's great, but Alabama at home is a different beast. Have they lost a home game this year? I'm looking through. They lost one home game this year to Clemson.
Yes.
Because the ACC sucks, right? Just saying. All right, that's going to do it for us here on Basketball U.
You know, the SEC's getting a little disrespected, too, this year. I think they should be talked about like the Big 12.
SEC, they're the best conference.
SEC's been one of the, like, the best conferences in the sport for the last the 3 years. I've liked a lot of what I've seen out of the SEC. Thank you to Riverfront Chrysler Jeep, Dodge, and Ram for sponsoring today's show. Buy at Riverfront.com. The CDGA Golf Show coming up next here on ESPN 1000.
This is Tyler and Shay on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.